déjà terrible fond à tout.
I bless the Heavenly Father. We thank you this morning for our gathering together again on today. We cannot thank you enough for all that you have been doing for us since we came to the camp. We thank you for the previous conversions. We thank you for the blessings and the testimonies. We thank you for this one, how you made it possible, a people that you have used in diverse ways to make contributions, O God, towards the success of this convention. We ask that you bless everyone in the name of Jesus Christ. Since we came together, Lord, you have been blessing our meetings. We have been meeting our needs as we have always done. We are very grateful to you.
Thank you.
This morning again we are looking unto you and for the rest of the services remaining for more of your blessings.
Amen.
For we cannot, there cannot be too much for us. Lord, we are asking, O God, as individuals, that you give us faith in our hearts to reach out to you. Acclaim whatsoever desire and needs a request that we have in our hearts.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Blessed be thy holy name.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for your servants that you have made use of already. Thank you for those that you are yet to use. We ask for more of your blessings upon everyone.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
For granting these petitions. In Jesus' most wonderful name, we pray with all faith and thanksgiving.
Amen.
God bless you. I just want to greet you good morning this morning. I will not take time. That's why I'm saying I will ask you to sit down.
Amen.
Thank you for coming to the meeting. It is true that when we come to these meetings, we don't come to meet a man. God has been gracious since we came
here.
The blessings we have received already, may they be permanent in our lives. Whatsoever we are still looking unto God for, may continue to meet our needs. We appreciate your coming. We appreciate God's servants that are here. Those that had the opportunity to minister to us. And those that we know have. Thank you for your support and your prayers. May the Lord bless every one of us. And make all of us ready to meet with him. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Reach up and touch the Lord as he wants you. I have found it's not too busy. I have found it's not too busy to my heart. It's passing this moment. He's passing by this moment, mine is
I will reach out and touch the Lord as he
for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much this morning for the privilege to be in your presence, Thank you for the gift of life.
Thank you.
The gift of a new day. And even the gift of a new week. We thank you for the blessings you have been bestowing upon us since the beginning of these meetings. We're grateful for your divine presence.
Thank you.
We say, blessed be thy holy name.
Hallelujah.
Father, may you receive our thanksgiving. May you receive our worship. May you also accept our presence, that nothing will stand between our soul and the Savior.
Amen.
Give us divine access into your presence, where all things are possible.
Amen.
I pray, Father, that you will come by and do those things that you are known by.
Amen.
Break the bread of life for us.
Amen.
Things that will take us deeper in your love.
Amen.
Things that will take us higher in your joy.
Amen.
That will establish us more and more in the present truth.
Amen.
Move through the audience of your people.
Amen.
But please don't pass no one by.
Amen.
May you stop at the post of each person.
Amen.
Please discern their needs.
Amen.
And grant to them the substance of their request and their desire.
Amen.
Settle your people.
Amen.
Bless them.
Amen.
Make them happy.
Amen.
Fulfill their joy.
Amen.
Take them even farther.
Amen.
Beyond their expectations.
Amen.
Lord, those who come sad, may they go happy.
Amen.
Those who come disappointed, may they go encouraged.
Amen.
Those who feel dejected, may they go lifted.
Amen.
Just come by, Lord.
Amen.
Bless your people once again.
Amen.
Bless the host church, the faith, the courage you give unto them to organize meetings like this, to create a platform for your children to fellowship. Lord, they've done a great job. May they never lose their reward.
Amen.
Bless our dear host pastor.
Amen.
Continue to strengthen him.
Amen.
And nourish his life.
Amen.
Give him more grace.
Amen.
Give him more of you.
Amen.
Oh Lord, grant him your divine touch.
Amen.
That will bring him to perfect perfection.
Amen.
Even in his own system.
Amen.
Bless his associate, oh God.
Amen.
Bless him, we pray. As he navigates through the waters of this program and many things, may you give him more wisdom.
Amen.
May you give him good health.
Amen.
Bless the rest of the ministers.
Amen.
In the local assembly there, the
Amen.
Officers, the board of the church, every family, every individual, may you bless them.
Amen.
For thy servants who had come, even supporting the meetings with their congregation, may you bless them.
Amen.
The sacrifices the saints have made to make this meeting in times like this in our country, Lord, may they never lose their reward.
Amen.
May their coffers be so filled with your blessings.
Amen.
We thank you for the blessings we have received this far. But because we know you are an inexhaustible fountain,
yes,
Lord, we come for more this morning.
Amen.
We shall come again in the evening. Even tomorrow departing, we shall still come.
Yes,
because we know you can't be exhausted. Just open the windows of heaven.
Amen.
Let your blessings pour.
Amen.
Be with us, be with other places.
Amen.
Where your children are gathered this morning.
Amen.
May your presence that is with us also abide with them.
Amen.
That it might be a sweet experience even in your presence.
Amen.
Thank you for joining messages. I want to pray for my interpreter that you will help him.
Amen.
You will inspire and strengthen
Amen.
Him. Help my humble self.
Amen.
Take glory, O God,
Amen.
That when all shall be over, we will have cause to give you praise,
Amen.
And we shall give you glory.
Amen.
This is our desire, Lord,
yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 The Lord bless you. Amen. Welcome ourselves into the house of the Lord this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ. So I don't keep you standing, sitting and standing. Let's just read the scriptures. So you take the comfort of your seat after once and for all. If you have your Bibles with you, please stand with me. To the book of Job.
Job.
Job chapter 1.
Job, orikini.
This was strongly impressed upon my heart yesterday. Maybe somebody is calling for it. Job chapter 1. If you don't mind, we are going to read the whole of the 22 verses. It's just going to be the background for studying through the entire length of the book of Job. We trust that the Lord will help us. There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil.
And
there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it.
And
the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for
naught?
Hast thou not made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and it will cause thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand, So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord.
Oluwasi da Satani lo npe kiesi ohun gbogbo ti o ni nbe ni kawo re kiki ohun ti kara re ni iwo ko gbodo fi owo re kan.
And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house.
O si di ojo kan nigba ti awon omo re okunrin ati obinrin je ti won mu oti wine ninu ile egbon won okunrin.
And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them.
O se kan si to Job wa wi pe awon odo awon oda malu ntule awon ketekete sin je ile eba won.
And the servants fell upon them and took them away, yet they have slain the servants with the hedge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee.
Awon ara sibe asi kolu won won si ko won lo pelu pelu won ti fi ida sa awon iranse re pa emi nikan soso le o si sa asala lati royin fun o.
While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is falling from heaven and had burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee.
Bi o si tin so li eno enikan de pelu ti o si wi pe ina nla Olorun ti orun bo si ile o si jo awon agutan ati awon iranse re ni ajorun.
While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yeah, and slain the servants with the hedge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee.
Because it is solely no, and it can see the pelu, it will be, I want a cardia, we go see on a meta, once it call you, I went back as here. Wọ́n sì kó wọn lọ pẹ̀lú pẹ̀lú wọ́n sì fi ìdà sá àwọn ìránṣẹ́ rẹ̀ pa èmi nìkan ṣoṣo ni ó sá àsálà láti ròyìn fún ọ.
While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house.
Bí ó ti ń sọ lé ẹnu ẹnì kan dé pẹ̀lú tí ó sì wí pé àwọn ọmọ rẹ ọkùnrin àti ọmọ rẹ obìnrin jẹ wọ́n mu ọtí wáìnì nínú ilé ẹ̀gbọ́n wọn ọkùnrin.
And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped to tell thee.
Na sì kíyèsí ẹ̀fúfú ńlá la ti ha ijù fẹ́ wá ìkọlù igun mẹ́rẹ̀ẹ̀rin ilé ó sì wó lu àwọn ọ̀dọ́mọkùnrin náà.
Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Wí pé níhòhò ni mo ti inú ìyá mi jáde wá, níhòhò ni èmi ò sì tún padà lọ síbẹ̀. Olúwa fi fún ni, Olúwa sì gbà á lọ, ìbùkún le orúkọ Olúwa.
In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly.
Nínú gbogbo èyí, Job kò ṣe, bẹ́ẹ̀ ni kò sì fi wèrè pé Ọlọ́run lẹ́jọ́.
May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his holy word.
Amen.
God bless you. You may please be seated. Once again, we welcome ourselves to the house of the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to thank the Lord for the opportunity He gave unto me and you to meet again in fellowship. And I trust that all the blessings that He will give and He has been given will be permanent in our lives in Jesus' name. I sincerely thank our host pastor.
Mo dupe lowo oluswagutan to gba wa lalejo lopolopo.
And his associate.
Ati amugbalegbe won.
For the privilege of service.
Fun anfani ise sin.
In the hope that we can be of a blessing.
Pe out le je ireti abi fun awon omo Olorun.
And I pray that the Lord will bless them.
Mo gbadura pe ko lo akopoko fun yin.
Honor them.
Ko ye won
to them.
Ko si fidi won kale.
Be with them.
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate all the servants of God who had ministered in these meetings. I would like for them to know that their ministries have contributed to our growth. And for sure, we are not going back the way we came. Because we've taken immense blessings from their labor. May the Lord bless you, sirs, very richly. My great arrows at the ministers who did not minister. If they have not been supportive and been in agreement in their heart with those who were ministering, there will be frictions here and there. They've shown so much support. Many have come from far, even with their congregation. They just wanted to be a support to the meetings. The harmony of the spirit that they have displayed have impacted the meetings greatly. If they took offense in their hearts, the atmosphere will feel it. So I appreciate the servants of God. May the Lord bless you, sirs. Amen. And I appreciate the entire congregation for coming to the house of the Lord. It's a tough time in our country. So it's a big sacrifice to make meetings like this. And I pray that the Lord who respects sacrifices of his children will richly reward you. If you are not here, we will not be standing here. So I want you to know that your coming is an encouragement. So may the Lord bless and richly reward you. We appreciate the host church also for hosting us. It takes a lot to do this. And most of those efforts are always in the background. It's like when you are looking at your clock or your watch. What you see is the long and the short hands. But it takes a lot of the unseen force to make the clock to give the right time. May the Lord bless all your efforts and richly reward you for the ones that we have seen and the ones, the many that are in the background. God bless you. We sincerely appreciate the opportunity you gave us to be in fellowship with one another. Like the prophet will say, you have done your part. I believe the invited guests have also done their part by coming. By this I know God will do his part. And he will make it a great blessing. God bless you, sir. And I'm trusting the Lord also for the minister that will come after me, that the Lord will help him to take us to some good climax and bless his labor.
Amen.
This morning, if the Lord will be our help, which I trust he will, I want to speak on a simple subject, which I called the lessons of Job, or the lessons from the book of Job. Amen.
Amen.
The prophet of God told us, and even by many historical facts, that this book of Job is about the oldest book of the Bible, that it even exists before Genesis was written. Because the character Job himself, he lived at a period which the prophet put the bracket between Seth and Abraham. He said it was right around during Seth.
Seth,
that's a Adam's son.
Okay. Abraham.
Amen. In between there. And he lived around the time of Nimrod. But I don't know if he was taken in the revival of
Nimrod.
The prophet called him a great priest. And also a great prince. Amen.
Amen.
And I hope we learn a lot from him this morning. So from the scripture that we have read, the Bible said, the Bible introduced Job also in the very first verse. He said there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect. He was upright. He was one that feared God and shunned evil. So by the standard of that day, Job was a perfect Christian. Now, this introduction that the Bible gave turned out to be how God saw Job. Because as we shall study further, God used his own mouth to repeat these qualities when he was making a case with Satan. So what the Bible wrote of
Job
was God's mind about Job.
Then
you begin to wonder that a man with such a rich spiritual credential,
and
have to go through all that he went through. This is what we want to look at this morning. And the Bible went further to introduce him to us. Told us his level of wealth. Told us about his family. Even gave us insight on how good a family man Job was. Job was a man who applied the token by the standard of the token. by the requirement of that hour upon his family. He was not just a Christian for himself. He also extended the blessings of Christianity unto his own family. If you were today, we would call him a perfect seed of Abraham. Because what made Abraham stood out was that God saw it in him before he even had children that he was going to be a great family man. It's in your Bible. God saw him as a great father. And that was why God was interested in revealing things unto Abraham. In Genesis 18, he said, shall I hide anything from Abraham? And God answered himself, no, for two reasons. He said, knowing that Abraham will be the possessor of all these things. Then number two, God said, for I know him. At this time, Abraham has not had Isaac. His family life has not been tested. But the God that does not see as men see it. Men look at faces. But God looks at the heart. The Lord who saw his heart, he said, I know him. And whatever I teach him, he will teach his children. As at that time, Abraham had only Ishmael. He has not even had Isaac. And remember, in God's economy, Ishmael wasn't in the picture. It was only Isaac that God reckoned with. That was why in Genesis 22, he told Abraham, take thy son, thine only son. So as far as God was concerned, Abraham had no child as at this time. But the quality of being a great father was already inside of him. He said, I know him. He will teach his children. And here we saw
Job.
The Bible says, he placed his family under the atonement. He even make atonement in advance. He said, I don't know what they have done, what they will do. He made an offering. He was doing all this in order to keep the presence of God and to keep his family under the blood. Just as we must do today, we must be willing to apply the token. Application of the token is actually obedience to what God says. That is how to apply it. Because if in the night of Passover, they killed the lamb and they collected the blood and put it in the bucket and did not put it on the doorpost or on the lid and did not put it on the doorpost and on the lintel, even though they have killed the lamb. When death angel comes,
he's
not going to recognize the blood in the bucket. He will only recognize it where he told them to put it.
So,
it is not the killing of the lamb that was important. What was important is the application of the blood according to divine instruction. If they apply the blood, put it on the doorpost and upon the lintel and refuse to go behind it,
When
that angel comes,
they
will still die just the same. And God will be guiltless. Because application of the token is total obedience to what God says. So
Job
was applying the token for his family. A great family man. A great Christian. I'm sure a great husband. Until God himself would recognize it and give him the description that he gave him. I know why I'm giving this background. Just follow me. You will enjoy the story. So this great Christian one day went to service like any other person. Just as we are in service this morning. The Bible said, and it came to pass, after the Bible described the quality of Job, God wanted us to have his background. And we begin to ask ourselves, if the man have such a rich credential, why then did this come upon him? With the Christian background, he went to church. The Bible says, and it came to pass, when the sons of God present themselves before God, there is no mystery to that. What it simply means, when the children of God came to service, that is the meaning of that. And he used the word sons because in God's counting, it doesn't count women and children. You remember that. When
they
fed the 5,000, the Bible said, besides children and women and children. So the people that was fed might have been 10,000, 11,000, 15,000. But when God does his population census, he only counts men. So the use of the word, when the sons of God present themselves,
they
not necessarily mean only brothers came to church. What we are doing this morning is that we are presenting ourselves before God. That is what we are doing. So they came for service. As they came for service, God, who promised that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he will be there. By that I know he's here this morning. Because we are more than two, we are more than three, and our gathering is in his name. Because we are the generation of those who knows his name, who know his name. We know his name is not Father.
He's
a title. His name is not son.
He's
a title. He's not Holy Ghost.
He's
an adjective. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And by that name we are gathered this morning. We have the revelation of the name. And we have the revelation of his person. So it is impossible by that scripture for God not to be here this morning. So he is here. But let me say this. If God is here, Satan is also here. And that is by the scripture. And that is by the message. Brother Bram said, tell me any gathering where Satan does not attend. It's a quotation. So Satan attends services. So I want you to know that he's here this morning. When we struggle, we sleep like I struggled the other day. That wouldn't be God. That would be Satan. When our minds are wandering apart, that wouldn't be God. That would be Satan. Trying to spy and steal our liberty. It comes to every service. So then you ask yourself, what must we do? We cannot prevent him from coming. But we can do one thing. We can prevent him from being active. We can render him useless in our midst this morning. If Satan wants to come to service, let him come. But we will render him useless. If he wants to visit our house, let him come. We will render him useless. We are not the generation of those who are afraid for Satan to come around. Let him come around. But let us render him useless. Let me tell you something. Millennium will be millennium. Not because Satan is dead. Are you with me? Because I need to help some of you who are still struggling with that. Millennium, I repeat, will be millennium. Not because Satan has been annihilated, but it will be millennium because Satan was rendered useless. The Bible says it will be bound by a chain. An ordinary unnamed angel is not even as powerful as you make him. Everything he does and he can do is because God allows him. When God is ready for him, he will send an angel. The Bible didn't tell us it will be Gabriel. It will be too much for him. He just sent an angel, lock him up, and that will be the end. It said it will be bound by a chain. The reveal words told us that chain is not made of metal or steel. It's a chain of circumstance, a condition by which the devil is rendered in ability to operate. And what would be the condition? He said all his subjects, people that Satan can use, they are all in hell. The church on earth is the redeemed. So Satan cannot use the redeemed to operate his agenda, because the redeemed are not his tools. The redeemed are the tools of God. And because the people he can use, they are in hell. He has nothing to operate with. That is the teaching of the prophet. And because he had no human to operate with, he would not be able to operate. So in our church, if we do not yield our as an instrument of his operation, Satan will be here and he will be an onlooker throughout the service. Let's put him in a chain of circumstance. Let's render him useless. There is no blessing waiting for us in the future. There is no blessing that we cannot be enjoying the foretaste of it now. Otherwise, the earnest of our redemption does not make sense. ìdáǹde wa kò ní túmọ̀ sí wa. Harness of redemption
ìtọ́wò
ìdáǹde is for you to enjoy.
Ó ní fún ẹ láti
gbádùn a foretaste of every blessing that is waiting in the future. If truly there is a millennium in the future, let us begin to have a foretaste of it here. Let's have it in our homes. Let's have it in our church. Let's have it in our hearts by rendering Satan useless. That means if he comes with an evil thought, the redeemed will deal with it. If he comes with a complex, the redeemed will deal with it. The redeemed will tell the devil, I am not your subject. Your subjects are out there. You can't use me to further your agenda. That is how to render the devil useless. If we do that in our church, we will have a millennium. If we do that in our homes, we will have a millennium. You love the Lord? So friends, the people of God gathered and Satan was there. And God was looking at his congregation. And all of a sudden he saw the devil. And he said, where are you coming from? He said, from to and fro. He's the global inspector. He's running to and fro here this morning. That was why he upset our light the other day. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And now watch this. While in service, it was God himself that singled out
Job.
Let me tell you something unusual. The problem of
Job
started from the church. Crack it.
Hallelujah.
While in service, God told Satan, have you considered my servant
Job?
Amen. Now you watch. For you to know the introduction of Job in the first verse was God's introduction. And the Lord said unto Satan,
have
thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth. Is that not familiar? A perfect and an upright man. One that feareth God and escheweth evil. It was not the same thing
with
in Job chapter 1 verse 1.
You know, Job,
meaning this introduction was from God himself. God was so bold and confident.
The
God who told us never to put trust in flesh. Is hereby contesting for a flesh and blood. It means God must be seeing something beyond flesh and blood. God must be seeing even what Job himself hasn't said about himself. The Bible said, God doesn't see as men see it. Men look at faces. God looks at the heart. If Job were presented an opportunity to accept the challenge from the devil, let me tell you, he will chicken out. It will say, I can't do it. But the one who knows it is framed. Who knows it is capacity. Who knows it is grace. Stood before Satan. Have you considered my servant Job? You are not getting it. If God asks
Job,
shall I boast about you before the devil? Job will say, don't put me in trouble. Okay, how many who are here this morning will want God to say the same of you before the devil right now? Raise your hands. Count the hands for me. You see what I'm saying? Practical Christianity, practical scripture. Nobody will want to do it. But God doesn't have to consult Job. Because he knew what he placed in there. Even when you feel inadequate, even when you feel insufficient, the one who made you knew his products. You are not getting it still. Let me wind your face. How many remember
Gideon?
You remember Gideon very well. Now,
Gideon,
we read about him like a mighty man. But his presentation in the scripture, his introduction in the scripture, was an introduction of a coward. Read your Bible. This man, when he succeeded in getting his harvest, he had to do what they call a decoy. Instead of processing his wheat in the threshing floor, the Bible said he took it to the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. So when he hear any sound, he was a coward. But when God came down, the first introduction of Gideon in the Bible, by God himself, he said, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor.
Amen.
God called a coward mighty man of valor. It goes to show that God sees something that you and I don't see. Are you getting it? Even Gideon himself will be surprised. Who is being introduced? If I'm the mighty man of valor, will I be running? Will I take what I should do here to this place to hide? But at the end of the story, did he prove to be mighty man of valor or not? This morning, I am what God says I am.
Amen.
This morning, you are what God says you are. You are a winner. You are not a loser. You are a victor. You are not defeated. You are healed. You are strengthened. You are powerful. You are glorious. Because God said, I will have a church without spot, without wrinkle. The strength of Israel can never lie. It can never take it back. No matter what happens, you will come to that picture. Let me tell you, brethren, this program is not yours. Neither is this mine. I'm not giving you confidence in falsehood. I'm giving you confidence in the finished work. This program is not mine. It's not yours. Nothing can defeat the purpose and the program of God. No matter how bad the time is,
The Lord will always raise a standard. There will always be that believer who is pure, who is holy, who is righteous.
Amen.
When Elijah said, everybody had gone the way of Baal, God said, Elijah, save your breath. I have reserved 7,000. Did you hear me? 7,000 who has not bowed down to Baal. There is a generation that will never bow down to Baal. And this is the generation I'm speaking to. He is still working on you. Things might not have been perfect. But guess what? You will come to that perfection. It's impossible for you not to come to that perfection. Servants of God, save your breath. Just do your job. Let God take care of the rest.
Hallelujah.
We can never be more concerned about this program than the God of the program himself. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Have you considered my servant Job?
Yes,
that in all my house. Read that scripture again,
friend.
We are taking lessons from Job. That there is none like him in the earth. A perfect and an upright man. One that feared God and eschewed evil. Don't expect Satan to commend you. When nothing good moves you, let me say it clearly, you are working for the devil. It's a bad habit to remain motionless in the presence of God. You say, me, I'm reserved. Throw your reservation outside. I'm a reserved person. That was how one man was too reserved to catch the goodness of God. The pillar of fire, he left those who were on the line. He started discerning those who were seated. And he came to one brother, or shall I say one man, but he was too reserved for spiritual things. And the pillar of fire left him. It was when he left him that he woke up. Brother Bram told him, he said, you responded too late. Don't respond too late in God's presence. If the word of God cannot break you, nothing else will do. Shame on you. Some of you will sit with the things of the world. You will be thumping and jumping. This is where we have our joy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
After the Lord gave his credentials, let's see what Satan says. This is the character of many of us. We are taking lessons. He said, then Satan answered the Lord.
And said,
it should be like,
elegant.
A lot of you will mind where that is coming from. Does Job fear God for
not?
This answer is a reflection of how the economy of the devil operates. I will break it down for you. In the kingdom of Satan, worship is transactional. It is give and take. If they are not getting anything out of it, they don't get moved. They don't get excited. They don't get enthused. And that is the mindset of many. They don't believe in the world today that people can be nice. Or people can work hard or be dedicated and devoted without an ulterior motive. And that is what we make some of you sit in the seat of scornful. The sister comes to give special number. She's trying to make herself available. That is what that will be the construction of your mind. And you will miss the blessing of the special number. A brother dressed nicely in God's presence, like Gromotayo is looking, and he will come and render a special number. He's trying to tell us he just bought a new suit. You must offer every strange reason for any good anybody does. You are inspired by the devil. My Bible told me, to the pure, all things are pure. Let's get our mind purified for once so that we can receive the blessings of God. The mindset of Satan is that people cannot be devoted if they are not enjoying anything from it. Shall I give you an example? One day, there was one woman who found grace in the sight of God. She had an opportunity and she refused to miss it. The Jesus that was despised, even though he was invited by Simon the Pharisee, this lady found an opportunity to identify with him. The Bible says she ran to her house. I'm cutting it because that's not my memory. She ran to her house, dusted all her savings to go and buy one costly perfume oil, a box of alabaster. Do you remember the story? You all know his scripture. He bought that horse. She bought that horse. And she brought it. She lavishly used it on our Lord. And Judas Iscariot.
Judas Iscariot too.
Satan's son. Had problem with her. It became anointed. He said, why such a waste? The rest of the disciples who were not strong, they were saying
amen.
Before you join the bandwagon, you better understand the purpose. They were saying amen. They didn't know what was on the mind of Judas.
Judas
he said, why such a waste? If we gather the money that was used for this
one,
100 poor families could benefit from this. Was it not acting nice? Church, I'm asking. Was she not acting nice? He was acting very nice. But listen to me. Truly, that perfume oil was very costly. They told us in Israel that the cost of that oil equals the annual salaries of 6 presidential guards. And those ones are paid heavily for their life. Because for the president to be killed, all of them will have died. So his position, Judas' position by that, was correct. It was very, very expensive. But do you think he was trying to be nice to the poor? Read your Bible. The Bible says, this Judas said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he is a treasurer and he is a thief.
jagudani.
All he was looking for was an access to the money. So that in buying things for the poor, he will help himself. Those of you who will use church money to go and buy things for the church, and you'll be telling the person, the trader,
say,
help me have 50,000 on top. You are a sinner. You are stealing from church treasury. They see you sweating up and down. According to Satan, you are not doing it for nothing. You are doing it for yourself, material gain. That is where the kingdom of Satan operates. If there is nothing in it for them, they will never do it. Am I skinning the devil? I'm not attacking any child of God. I'm attacking Satan. My job is to cast out demons. So allow me to do my job. When your worship also becomes transactional, it is what you have or what you don't have that will remote your style of worship. When we see you happy in the church, it's because the fridge is full. When the fridge is low and the store is empty, we will know it by your countenance. In the house of God, you are a transactional believer. You fit into the mode of the devil. Does Job serve God for
naught?
But let us answer Job. Let us answer
Satan.
Job does not serve God for what he has. Whether he had it or he didn't have it, he will yet serve the Lord. The worship of a believer is not transactional. Even though we know it's best to serve Jesus, we know there are benefits in serving Jesus, but we are not serving him because of those benefits. If we serve him truly, there's a rapture waiting for us. There's a wedding supper. There's a millennium. There's an eternity to live inside. Our hope is beyond this life. But we are not serving God because of those things. You say, what do you mean? Our prophet said, I serve God because I love him. Serve God for love. And you cannot serve God for love until the God of love has come into your heart. Because the love of God comes into your heart by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Until you receive the Holy Ghost, you cannot serve God by love. This is what it means. Brother Bram said, I serve God because I love him. And watch what he said.
Wait.
He said, if God will say at the end of your life, after all your service, I will send you to hell. If it is based on love, that service will still not stop. If it is based on other things, he said, excuse me, it is over. But the prophet said, I will keep serving him. And when I get to that hell, if there's an opportunity to serve and to love him, I will keep loving, I will keep serving there. That is when your worship is no more transactional. Hallelujah. That is when you can say like Apostle Paul, what shall separate us from the love of God? Paul mentioned everything. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And anything. He said, but no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. This morning, you are more than conquerors. That is why nothing else will remote your service except the love of God. In bad times, you will serve him. In good times, you will serve him. When it is raining, you will serve him. When it is sunny, you will serve him. In Amatan, you will serve him. Because it is based on love and not on transaction. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You love him.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you, if you are serving God because of give and take, time and experience will prove you. Who is on the Lord's side this morning? We have a generation. Oh my. Who is on the side of the three Hebrew children? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shadrach, Meshach, and
Abednego.
Who has strong revelation of what God can do? God can heal. He can save. He can provide. He can deliver. He can set free. He can give anything. And he's been doing it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But I'm not serving it because he can do it. You know why? I also have this revelation that it's not everything God can do that he does. That's very technical. Did you hear me, church? I have this revelation that it isn't everything God can do that he does. Okay, let's put it like this. When the three Hebrew children confronted the challenge of their day, being close to the king, the king was going to offer them another chance. And they told the king, let's not waste time. If you give us 10 chances, our answer will remain the same. So what is your answer? We will not bow. We know our God can deliver us. How many knows that this morning? How many knows that God can deliver you? In whatever situation you are, you know it. You believe it. You accept it. Be it unto you according to your words. Yes, sir. Is that we know. So knowing is settled for the believer. Let me tell you, we make some statements sometimes and we think we are impressing God. Some of us will say, Lord, for me to know you are God. This a man who has been in God for 30 years is now saying, said, for me to know you are God, do this for me. So for 30 years, you don't know him as God. Shame on you. I'm sorry, but it's a shame. You are discomplimenting the grace of my God. Let's not be using such words. Are you hearing me? We must rise above some utterances. So all your years, you don't know he is God. I know he is God. Whether he does it or not. Listen, is that we know that God can deliver us. Can means ability. What we know he can do. But they told the king, guess what? If he chooses not to, is it in your Bible?
He
said, if he chooses not to. In other words, we know what he can do. We also respect his sovereignty. How many respect God's sovereignty this morning? And it will never change God from being God. He is God yesterday. He is God today. He will be God tomorrow. Brother Abraham said, he knows
is no, is beko,
beko
is as good as his yes.
Beni, na, lori pelu beni.
That is the believer
Aleni,
whose worship is not transactional. But if he chooses as not to deliver us, yet we shall not bow down. They know what he can do, and they also respect his sovereignty. That is the believer. Until you understand those two things, your faith is on a shaking, sinking sand. That is why at every light affliction, some of us are ready to abandon the word. You stop coming to church, you stop dropping, and the pastor will become nervous. What kind of a believer are you? You want to go to the same heaven these brethren have gone? You love the Lord, friends. Does Job serve God for nothing? Please bring back our scripture. Does Job fear God for nothing? Has not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he had on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased. Satan was looking at riches. He couldn't see the heart of Job. Therefore,
Job,
worship, it's a revelation. It's a connection between him and God. Let me tell you, if you serve God because of all this, it shows the kingdom of God has not taken his throne in your heart. Let love rule. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has, and he will cause thee to thy face. You know what God said? Satan, you mean that? Say, I mean it. Satan, do you really mean that? I mean it. Are you talking about Job? He said, yes, I'm talking about Job. God told Satan, it's my privilege to accept your challenge. May the Lord depend on you. May the Lord depend on me. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power. I release it. Only upon himself. Put not forth thy hand. Do you see that even in our trials, in our temptations, God does not allow Satan to go loose as he will want? You are not getting that. You are not getting it. In your trials, I'm going to show something here. In your trials, in your testing, in your temptation, Satan does not have the privilege of going as wide as he will want. God still put bits, and God still put limits. Does this go with the scripture? The Bible says, they have no temptation that come upon us that is uncommon. Isn't that the scripture? God spoke like that so that Satan will not cheat you by putting you into a complex against God. There are many of us here that the devil is lying to, and you are accepting his lies. You say, he will tell you the problem you are facing. Nobody on this earth is facing it. How many has the devil told like that before? He has told you like that before. He's told you too. He's told you. He's told you, he's told you also that you have the most peculiar problem. Do you know when the devil does that? He's lying to you. The Bible says there is nothing new under the sun. Take it from me. No matter what happened to you, it has been before. If there's a tomorrow, whatever is happening today will also repeat itself. It's a cycle.
But
you know what? The devil knows very well that as long as he keeps you in the church, he cannot have complete access. You know why? The church offers blood protection. No matter what happened to you, don't leave the church.
Amen.
You can't be as good as a Christian should be when you are not in the church. Stay in the church. Stay where the kingdom of God is. Stay where fire is falling. It's your protection. Let me say this. Do you know that if people are misbehaving and they are not willing to repent, as long as we don't enforce discipline, it's difficult for God to deal with them, because we are keeping them under the protection of the blood. That is the teaching of the prophet. He said when they become defiant and are not ready to change, what we must do is to enforce church discipline that will isolate them from the protection of the blood for the punishment of their flesh, so that their soul will be saved on the day of God. Brother Bram said, as long as you keep them, nothing will happen to them, because the church offers blood protection. Are you here? This is the reason you mustn't leave the church. Because even Satan knows that he cannot finish you off as long as you are in the church. So what he will do is to sell you a lie that will get you into a complex mode to God. That why will God single me out for a peculiar problem? That means God is personally mean to me. And if he is mean to me, am I the worst sinner? Gradually. That way, you won't see the need to talk to somebody who is mean to you. To talk, you won't see the need for prayer. Gradually, you won't see the need to hear from him. So you won't see the need for the word or to come to church. It will be gradually isolating you. When he isolates you, you will still have some power, some fire. But that fire is deceptive. Because when you take a coal of fire from bunch of coals of fire, the moment you isolate it, you have killed it. But the death will not manifest immediately. Because it came out with a little fire. But that fire cannot retain its power. Gradually, you will see yourself backsliding until you die spiritually. When you get to that point, Satan will have full access and destroy your life. So the reason he's telling you lies is to be able to isolate you from your protection. So he said here, Take everything he has. But don't tamper with him. The Bible says, God is faithful. How many believe he's faithful? God is what? What is the proof of his faithfulness? He will not allow us to be tempted above what we are able to bear. As a matter of fact, God does not tempt. He only tests. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? God does not tempt. God tests. But Satan tempts. Because testing. No testing.
She said, don't worry for you.
Goes with a positive mind. A child is learning. When a teacher set up exam,
ayewo.
The test is to gauge his level of understanding. The teacher is not witching for his students to fail. But on the side of Satan, that same examination comes with a mind for him to fail. So when the mind is negative, is temptation. But when the mind is positive, it is testing. So this thing Job is in, to the devil, he wants to tempt him to make him deny God. But to God, it's a test to prove that Job is my son. Are you catching it? So don't look at it with the goggle of Satan this morning. Look at it with the goggle of God. That whatever comes my way is to prove that I'm the son of God. I'm the daughter of God. Nothing more. Nothing less. We shall see it with Job. Then the Bible said, Satan left the presence, he left the service to hatch out a plan of how to bring down Job so that Job could curse God. His own plan, he will curse God. God said, by the same thing, I will prove to you that is my son. Testing in God's kingdom. Temptation in Satan's kingdom. By the same thing. Are you catching it? Then, as Job left the church, God bless you, brothers. God bless you. We'll see you in the next service. It's going to be all right. Let's just rejoice in the Lord. Oh, my precious brethren. He didn't know.
Job,
he has sparked plenty problems right from the church. Some of you don't like this now. I don't know who God is singling out this morning. But we have to tell you this. Lest you say, I'll come after convention. Then you start castigating convention. Maybe God is not even there. God is there. God was in that service where the people of God were. And God was making a deal with the devil that even Job knew nothing about. Now, It's so easy to reach this thing
now.
Because we know how it ended.
I said,
yes.
But
if you were there that day, some of you will come out and say, there must be plenty witches and wizards in that church. I'm sorry, I will say these things. Plenty. They have shot at him. And from that day, some of you will be wary of even coming to church. So when you leave church, where is your city of refuge? Your village, you cannot go. Even your room, you cannot sleep. Church where you find comfort. Satan is telling you it's packed with witches and wizards. You cannot come. Let me tell you, your life is finished. It's because a lot of us, we don't understand the mystery of life. That is why we give credit to the devil for what he is not responsible. Here was God. Satan was in service. Here was God starting the problem by himself. Why? Because he believed in his son. He believed in his daughter. Let me tell you, have it at a revelation. No matter what happened, a Christian cannot lose. No matter what happened, God knows all about it. And eternity is working out something in the background. We must be solid saint Christians. Am I not preaching the Bible? So if your seat is getting hot, let it get hot. This is a scripture. You ascribe glory to what is not necessary. You allow the devil to put you in bondage. Who is the believer that will show a positive attitude to his challenges and start confusing Satan? That is a Christian that the message of the hour came to raise. We've gone beyond Pentecostal Christians whose daily occupation, ...85% of their daily life is in catching witches and wizards. As if they are something. Why will a lesser demon assume prominence in your life? There's an higher ground, brother. There's a depth of God. There are things to teach, to rob out make believe. The mysteries of God are revealed. You abandon those things that could put the that could make the people of God a powerhouse. And you start majoring on nonsense. And all you do is to succeed in creating discord in the church. Destroy every spirituality in the house of God until everybody is suspicious of one another. By the fruit, does that show it's God? People you have been eating with together, you suddenly become shame on you. And what are you afraid of, by the way? Whatever you fear will come upon you. Fear has no virtue. Worry has no virtue. All our victory, all our power is in faith. Let me tell you, when you have the love of God in your heart, nothing can harm you. I say nothing. Drink poison unaware. You will survive it. Any gospel that starts creating division among the people of God, and we start seeing ourselves with two arms, with three legs, it's a gospel of Satan. I say it with all sense of responsibility. Brother Bram said, we have a lot of soothsayers in the pulpit, unconverted souls. If this were in our day, you will send some witches and wizards. How can witches and wizards be so powerful in our church? Can't we put them under the chain of circumstance? I'm speaking it freely. They are hearing me. They are hearing. No enchantment. No power. A curse without a curse cannot stand. I am too connected to be frustrated. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Let's fortify the believer and stop all this nonsense, all these carryover demons. A lot of you, your prayer every morning, as I raise my leg, so the leg of my enemy should be raised like this. Before your enemy's leg is raised, yours is already raised. You are suffering the punishment before your enemy suffer. Look away to Jesus. Look away to Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
My brother, my sister, as Job left service, rejoicing in the blessing of God, from the next day, in just one day, four news of calamity that took his wealth, his business, his properties, and even his family. Has it happened to you like that? Raise your hand. Raise your hand now. All your children. All your properties. All your houses. All your cars. Job had 3,000 cars. Transport. Camel. All has gone. You can't raise your hand. You see yourself now. You see why the Bible summarizes all our troubles as light and affliction. We need strength. We need grace, brethren. We need to be Christians. We need to be believers. And stop running errands for the devil. My Bible told me, in all this, Job sinned not, nor chided God foolishly. So God remained God to Job, even in that circumstance. Now wait for it. When Job heard everything, as much as he tore his clothes, that is in order. Any man will weep. Any man will be broken. Any man will be disoriented. But after, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
After your emotion, do what the word says. The Bible says Job got up. He washed himself. He went to the house of the prayer. He worshiped the Lord. He said, the Lord gave it. The Lord take it. Blessed be his holy name. He's a man of like passion. As you are. As I am. And you will think that will take his service. When that happened, God must have called Satan. Check that out, boy. Check that out, boy. Then on the next service day, Job was back in service. Let's go to chapter 2. The next service day, Job was back in service. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto him, jump this one. His answer remains the same. And the Lord said unto him, Satan, Job is in service. After you took his children, he's in service. You took his camel. You took this. He came to service. He did not curse me. He was singing. He was worshiping. He was rejoicing. And he also added to his credential. Let's read it again. Let's read this and compare it with the first one. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? That is familiar, is it? A perfect and an upright man. Familiar. One that feared God. We already read that. And eschewed evil. But watch. And still he holdeth fast his. So the trial of Job only succeeded in adding to his Christian credential. And still he holded fast his integrity. Look at what God said. Although thou moved me against him to destroy him without cause. Meaning, it wasn't sin or any evil that Job did that brought all this. God said, you moved me to destroy him without cause. He's in service. So, Satan, what do you say? Alpha. This is Satan now. And Satan answered, skin for skin.
Oh, yeah, awo fun awo.
Do you know he did not commend Job? Do you know he did not appreciate or acknowledge that thing? When you cannot acknowledge any good thing and appreciate people, sister, that your special number bless my soul. Thank you. May the Lord give you more. When you can't do those things, or you sit in the seat of discomfort, check who your mentor is. Everything God said meant nothing to Satan. Skin for skin. All that a man has, he will give for his life. In other words, Job survived it because it was his property. If I touch him, God bet it with me. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will cause it to thy face. God laughs. He said, you are an incurable optimist. You think you will get this guy? Okay. I give you another chance. It's in your hand. For his life. Alright?
Me?
So when Satan fought from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils, cancer, tumor from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And it took him a posture to scrape himself with her, and he sat down upon ashes. So while he was doing all this, he was expecting Job to say, why me, Lord? So if it's not you, point to the person you should be. Blessed be the Lord. Satan became frustrated. I know what I will do. He came in the garb of his wife. When you see what that woman said, you will know that it was Satan speaking, using her voice. Satan, in frustration, started pushing. Then said his wife unto him, do thou still retain thy integrity? Do you know what that means? You still want to keep Christianity? You still want to believe God will do it? You still want to believe that all is well? Only how is not well? Curse God and die. Job got the message. Sometimes, as couples, we don't help the weakness of one another. But Job, even in his condition, remained a Christian. He's a solid man who the cloud of his temptation will not ever make him misbehave. He knew, this doesn't sound like my wife. He could remember the wonderful times. And by that, he knew the credential of that woman. Look at what he said. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women. In other words, you are not foolish. In other words, my wife, this is not you. Don't break. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? Look at the line. In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Satan lost the battle round two. You could see a man who will not act under pressure. But if you think the condition that made that woman to speak like that was simple, watch when his friends came, his co-church members, when they arrived, the Bible said, when they saw Job, it's him. It's not him. It's him. It's not him. Brother,
Job.
It's me. Oh. The Bible said they sat down.
Wow.
And for 7 days. They went into a temporary coma.
This
is your Bible.
So
they sat down with him upon the ground. 7 days. And what? 7 days and none spake a word unto him. For they saw that his grief was what? Very. That was the depth of his sickness. For three friends to sit, and they lost their voice.
They
won 24 hours. They 24 hours.
They
three. Nobody shifted from where they were. Nobody got up. Nobody said they were. Everybody stood still. Sat still. 7 days. Have you suffered like that? Raise your hand. Do you see why the Bible says you have read of the patience of Job? And you see the end of the Lord. Now, after 7 days, they found their voice. Here is another lesson. They looked at this man. Bro Joe. God bless you. God bless you. Sorry. Then one look at the other. Go straight to the point.
You want us to say so?
Bro
Joe. So man.
Billa, talk now.
Billa, I want to
hey, I'm trying to.
Are you
sure all is well?
Are you sure there's
no secret
sin?
Brother Bram said, that's the attitude of all of us. When anything happens, we are quick to ascribe it as a sin. We are quick to judge.
Then
we are quick to defend one another. Bad news of one is good news to many. It's a shame. Brother Bram said, we have too much against us than to be against one another. It didn't start from now. When the disciples saw that man that was born without eyes, their first attitude was, who sinned? Let me say it this afternoon. It is not every problem that a man faces that is as a result of sin. That was why we took time to give us the background of this man. You must deprive yourself of certain things. Otherwise, you will not be a good comforter. In your so-called only righteous efforts, you will be rejected by God. No matter how thin you slice anything in life, it will always have two sides. There's a quotation that says, the devil cannot set a foot on us to hurt us until we first get out of the wedge. That is true, but that is not the entire truth. The other side is that sometimes God may allow things to happen without that person being a sinner. And yet, because there's a glory, there's an higher ground, there's a character, there's a blessing to be prepared for. Be careful how you approach people's matter. And start glorying in evil. Some of you will hear things. You won't even check it with the person. You are already flying. This road is not competition. The sky is wide enough for every bird to fly. You are not my competitor. I am not yours. Each of us come to run our race. In our race, if there are challenges, let us be a help to one another. The love of God in your heart will make you do it. I'm saying this because gradually these brethren came to a conclusion that it was sin that made Job to come to this problem. Because the sickness was very great. And Job, he looked at himself. When a man searched himself and he said, I found nothing, we must believe them and pray for them, because you don't know what God is doing. Don't go with a dirty mind, because with that attitude you cannot be a blessing. A man who lives under full atonement all the time, even if he does something wrong, once he repents, that is taken care of. Woe to the man who will be glory in another man's failure. We are all still in the race. Nobody has arrived. Be very careful. I'm saying it. Then they settled down to a conviction and started pounding this brother for about 30 chapters. Listen to me, church. For about 30 chapters, the next 30 chapters of the Bible, or 32 chapters, was establishing doctrines on a false foundation. I'm quoting your Bible, read it. All the friends of Job, everything they were saying, all the attacks, all the words, were based on a faulty foundation. Your counsel, your effort will become malicious if it is not predicated upon the truth. But you see, you cannot break a man who knows where he's standing in the world. Brother Bram said, no matter how hard those friends pounded at Job, he retained his conviction because he knows what he has done and what he has not done. Read your Bible for about 32 chapters. We thank God it gave us some lessons. But the verdict of God was that those three friends wasted their time. Read your Bible. If God will say that you have not represented me well, what does that mean? For 32 chapters, it was a waste of time, because their counsel was on the basis of falsehoods. You have nothing to gain in the mischief of a brother. Don't get into a complex for nothing. It will destroy you. After 30 chapters or 32, God sent down, I'm winding down now, God sent down Eliu. Brother Bram says, I wish I could show you that Eliu was the Lord Jesus Christ. To do what? Brother Bram said, when Eliu came down, he didn't condemn Job, nor accuse Job. But what did he do? He knew that for God to come down, the altar must be repaired. These three brethren had destroyed the altar of God. He has to set everything back in order. Brother Bram said, he's setting in order, created a blank, a bridge for a sinful man to be connected with his Savior again. He brought the path of redemption. He placed Job where he should be. He placed those friends where they should be. Then the Lord came down. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We need people like that sometimes. People with honest, pure hearts. Who will stand in the gap. Who will not have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. Who will stay on the Lord's side. When God came down, give us Job chapter 42. As we close, let's see what God says. Amen.
Amen.
Move up a bit, because when God came down, he queried some things and put everything. Just keep moving. And it was so. No, bring it back.
S-A-K-J.
And it was so
Belly.
That after
Osiri,
the Lenny. Lord has spoken these words unto Job. Do you see when God came down? His first point of contact was who?
Job.
The man they don't want to identify with. Some of you have bad Christian manners. Sorry. There is no Christian manner that is bad. But some of you have bad manners. When you call yourself Christian, the fact that you disagree with somebody does not make him leprous. For you to be running away from. You will do all your best not to shake his hand. Why are you avoiding him? Why are you avoiding him? You can't come around him. Shame on you. Brother Bram said they get into so much disagreement. Until they will say, I won't have anything to do with you. So you need the altar. You cannot fight the battle of life with a weapon that is not in the armory of God. Malice is not in God's economy. Those of you keeping malice, stop keeping malice. If you truly have God, let your God intimidate the demon in the life of your brother or sister. The two friends, the woman that his friends were calling secret sinners, got God's attention first when he came down. And it was so, after that the Lord has spoken these words unto Job. Now listen. The Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against
you
and against thy two friends. So all 30 chapters of Psalms, the only thing he brought was the wrath of God. Is it my word? Alright. For ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right. So all your sermons, because it was based on false foundation, is wrong. Even said, as my servant Job
asked.
Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And go to who? Go to the secret sinner. Shame on the devil. And offer up yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job, God personalized Job.
He's
my servant. It doesn't matter what you think of him. He is my servant. God wasn't ashamed to be identified with
Job.
Don't seek man's approval as much as God's approval. as much as God's approval.
Abeni kin se oju teyan fin wo l'Olorun fin wo.
And my servant Job shall pray for you.
Ati ranse mi Job yo si gbadura fun o.
Wait for it.
Egbo.
For him.
Ani tori
will I accept? If you go to Pastor Martin, I will not accept. Come to Pastor Sam, I will not accept. Pastor Matthew is very energetic. He will pray with energy for me. You are wasting your time. That guy you call secret sinner, go to him. Is it still in the Bible? Are we still reading our Bibles? So people preach for about 30 chapters and he ended up a waste of time. He said, lest I deal with you after your folly. In that you have not spoken of me, the thing which is right. Don't repeat it again. So their atonement can only come by Job. You are not getting it. Job had the monopoly.
Job solo ni
for their pardon.
Alati dariji won nigba ton ba to lo.
Amen. Isn't this something else? If you want forgiveness, despite all the noise you have made, all the acrobat of sermon you have preached, jump up and down, roll up the sleeve, blast and cast and teach and everything.
You are
not right. For all that you have done, go back to that man.
Okay, Lord, tuba.
May the Lord help some of you to swallow your pride and repent properly.
Hallelujah.
Okay, give us the next one. Now, if Job had faced a serious temptation thus far, church, let me tell you, this is the biggest temptation. I'm going to close on this. But this is the highest temptation. When you have seen the people, we don't know for how many days, that have put more misery in your life than even the problem that came to you. And yet God says, you are the one that have the monopoly for their pardon. What will you do? Aha. Some of you will rise up. Today is my coronation day. Today has the Lord proven himself. What goes around comes around. It's my turn now. Eliphaz. How many times did I call you? As you all have made my life miserable, I will give you double for your measure. That's the attitude some of you with. And you are talking about the third pool. That is the man who wants to move his mountain. Mark 11:22. If have faith in God, if thou believe and say to this mountain, move, and you do not doubt, it shall watch. But Jesus said, before you say to your mountain, if you have aught against anybody, what did he say you should do? Forgive. Forgiveness is a requirement.
Bẹ́ẹ̀ni, ìdáríjì ó jẹ́ ohun tí Ọlọ́run
béèrè. For spoken word manifestation.
Àkí ọ̀rọ̀ Ọlọ́run tó sọ yẹn kó tó lè
wá sí múṣẹ. It's a proof that you have come to a level of maturity.
Ẹ̀rí ni pé ìwọ náà ti dàgbà, ó ti dògbò nínú ìgbàgbọ́.
And you are ripe for adoption.
Bẹ́ẹ̀ni, o sì ti tó láti jẹ́ ọmọ ògidì ọmọ tá a fi sí ipò rẹ̀.
Brother Bram said, no matter what anybody does, even if he will kill you.
Abẹ́ni tán bá tiẹ̀ lágbára láti ti pa igan pẹ̀lú.
You are silent on me now.
Bẹ́ẹ̀ni, ẹ ti
dákẹ́ sí. I said, even if he will kill you, is that not the end?
Àbí ṣé òpin rẹ̀ nìyẹn ni tó bá tiẹ̀ pa igan so.
That mama look at me.
Mama yẹn wò mí pé akílẹ̀ tó sọ.
Akílẹ̀ wí.
Akílẹ̀ wí.
What are you saying?
Pé èèyàn lágbára láti pa
mí. I said, even if he will kill you.
Ó ní bó bá tiẹ̀ lágbára láti ṣekú pa igan.
Were they not killing Stephen?
Bẹ́ẹ̀ni, ṣé àìsí kan nípa Stefano
yìí? Do you have the same Holy Ghost Stephen has?
Ṣé ẹ ní ẹ̀mí mọ́kàn náà tí Stefano ní? Àbí.
Do you know what keeps hurt in our hearts? We scratch our wounds. The wounds of
hurt.
And when you keep scratching, it keeps getting deeper. It keeps festering. Can you look away from it? There have been many of you who will go home and forgive the people you have locked. Your deliverance is your readiness to go and set them free. Because you will never make it. The prophet said, if you keep hurt in your heart, you are walking over the dangers of hell. The greatest test was this. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite
went
and did according as the Lord commanded them. Meaning they brought their offerings. They offered. And Job prayed the prayer of acceptance for their offering and of forgiveness. And he meant it from his heart.
Jóòbù sì ṣe ń tó ṣe yẹn tọkàn tọkàn ni.
He rose above everything.
Bẹ́ẹ̀ ni kò kan kó sí wọn lọ́rùn.
All the accusations.
Bẹ́ẹ̀ ni gbogbo ẹ̀sùn tọ́ka sí lọ́rùn yẹn.
All the unkind words.
Wo gbogbo àwọn ọ̀rọ̀
burúkú. All the blastings.
Gbogbo àwọn ọ̀rọ̀
òbí tẹ́sí sí.
Gbogbo àwọn ìwásí yẹn.
Everything.
Gbogbo rẹ̀.
He rose above.
Jóòbù kan kó sí wọn lọ́rùn. Sọ pé ara.
Let's put it under the blood.
Bóyá ẹja fi gbogbo rẹ̀ sábẹ́ ẹ̀jẹ̀ Jésù Kristì ẹja gbàgbé pa ẹ̀.
If he didn't do that.
Tí Jóòbù bá ṣe bẹ́ẹ̀ yẹn.
This next thing will not happen. Give us verse 10. And the Lord did what? Let's read together. Turn the captivity of. When? 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 If he never prayed for his friends, his captivity will remain. Did you catch that? There is power in forgiveness, brethren. The natural nature of a gentle bride is to forgive. Time has failed me. I'm sorry. I will have proven that to you. The natural nature. Brother Bram, when he saw souls under the altar, he said, the reason I know they are not gentle bride material was the way they were crying for what? Vengeance. Meaning to be a natural nature for the believer to forgive. If you want blessings, forgive. If you want progress, forgive. If you want forgiveness yourself, forgive. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. after he prayed for his friends. So what was the trial meant for? Purging. Character building. To be able to handle greater wealth, greater blessings. Whatever you are going through, God is in the background. Don't give up. Don't break. Because you are a seed of God, you can never lose. All things must work together for your good. It's a purging process. It's a character building process for a greater promotion, so that when that position comes, you are in the capacity to be able to handle it without destroying yourself. Count it all joy and face your challenge with a positive heart. God will come through for you. God bless you.
The Lord bless you. I don't need to ask whether you have been blessed. But in the spirit of what we have had, I would like us to ponder, to meditate and think. And think very deeply. As fast as possible. If you have someone somewhere that your heart is not free with, that you are keeping enmity with, in the spirit of this message, the prophet in the message all the days of our life, when he was praying, he said, if I have an enemy in this world, he said, forgive us both, because we are both striving to enter the kingdom. That was, he cannot pinpoint somebody, but he made that as a general prayer, that if I have an enemy in this world, forgive us both. So if you have somebody that you count as an enemy, if you have somebody that you believe that he has done you evil, and constantly when you think of the person, you feel bitter in your heart, or you sight the person, it causes you sorrow. Why don't you present yourself and the person before the Lord at this time? That the Lord will be gracious, he will be merciful, and forgive you both. I don't know you, you don't know me. But God knows everyone. If you want the blessing, this is the key that we have been given very simply. Before you can have perfect faith, there must be forgiveness first. Forgive all your enemies. Bless and don't curse. Ask the Lord to help you and grant grace unto you. We just had it. God told those three friends to go meet Job, and Job has to pray for them. And it was after the prayer that the Lord turned his captivity. What captivity do you think you have before you now? What do you think is keeping it from being turned? Maybe this is the reason. As the Lord has caused his word to pass this way, God does not speak foolishly. He speaks with a purpose. He speaks with an intention. There's a reason for everything that God does. Let this be for me. Let this be for you. Let the opportunity not pass any of us by. Yield not to temptation, for yielding. Victory we have you.
And our
eyes are closed. The Lord has spoken very widely. Very deeply. A heart-to-heart talk between God and His children. No doubt many are directly affected. I believe we have spoken to God.
We
would like to be remembered in prayer. You lift up your hand to God. Some few people who have come to the altar, I don't know why they are there. God knows.
I
would still like to request Pastor Martins to kindly move forward and pray for the people.
We thank you for this hour. We have listened to your word. It has been spoken. May you never return to your voice. In the name of Jesus Christ. After we have heard your word sung of your children on the altar, it is not possible to hear your word without taking a decision. Whatsoever have brought them to the altar, and all of us that have heard your word, whatsoever it is that has brought conviction into our hearts, we ask, Lord, that you be gracious unto us.
Amen.
Be merciful unto us, Lord.
Amen.
May your word take effect in our lives.
Amen.
As many, dear Master, as one fought or the other against any, Lord, at this solemn moment, may you walk upon our hearts.
Amen.
To forgive one another.
Amen.
Thank you, righteous Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Blessed be thy holy name.
Hallelujah.
We want to ask, Lord, that your servant that you have used, you replenish it.
Amen.
For the virtue that has left it.
Amen.
Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' precious name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord bless you richly. Let's quickly listen to these few announcements. So we wish to inform the brothers and sisters that there is need to do general cleaning of the environment immediately after this morning devotion. Thanks. Sorry. This one is supposed to be in the morning. So it was written in the morning, but it was not put forward. So please kindly, as we go, if you see some things on your way, let's pick them to the next available dustbin that we can get. God bless you. This one said, let us please announce to the brethren that those who plan to leave after this morning service,
They should leave the keys to the door on the doors or return them to the brothers or sisters who gave them the keys. They should please not make that serious mistake of going away with the keys. Thanks and God bless you. And this one said, kindly inform the brethren from Ijebodi and Ekwe to wait behind after service this morning for a brief meeting. Thanks from the deacon. Lost and found items. A Bible with navy blue jacket. Then NIN slip belonging to Adetola Folake Adebola.
NIN to jeti Adetola Folake Adebola.
If you bear that name,
Adakwe iwolo ni uruko yen,
and it is yours,
Adakwe NIN yen iwolo ni,
please meet the officers at the end of the service.
Bisi ba kwari lo ba won oloye ijo ku ba lowo won.
At the end of our stay here,
to ba pin bata ba fe ku nbi bayi,
nobody come for it,
ti yan ka ko ba wa ba,
we will leave you with the manager
of the camp,
because others are also using the camp.
It could be
that the owner is not even our member.
They
said the person is already there. So, please meet the deacons. Please, which of the deacons? Is it Brother Kolade that has it? Brakunle, please meet Brakolade to find out who, because it's between.
The sister is very close.
I know. Okay. Is he with you? The NIN is with you. So the sister is there now. So you can give it to. She has collected it now.
I want it for.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. We would love the children to snap and take pictures with my son after the afternoon service. I think you mean this morning service. This morning stroke afternoon. So.
Say
Joseph.
Joseph.
Is he coming or what is this? Duroma or something. I think it's a. It's not a Yoruba name, quite alright. But the writing is from Brother Joseph Duru and Sister Duru from Owuru Lagos.
Duru atarabere Duru lati ijo Owuru loko.
Yeah, their son is 3 years old. And they want the children. I don't know of what age. Because it's not specified. To take pictures with the boy. When you get outside, it will be sorted out. God bless you. This one says, please sir, kindly inform the brethren that vehicles are not allowed to park in the auditorium. Also, I was reminded to inform those that may be leaving, whether now or tomorrow morning, to please remember to pick all your belongings. After you have gone, and we have gone, some people are using this place immediately. So, if you call, I say room so. From this place to my house,
it
It will take me about 1.5 hours. When there are some traffic. So it's not beside the house or anybody. And also before we get to this place, others have used the room. So such things are valuable, might have been taken. Pick your things. Go them back in your bag. God be with you. God bless you richly. Have you enjoyed the Lord? Every convention that will come, it comes more glorious every year. And because the bride gets mature on a daily basis, I've grown to take strong meats that belong to adults. Because we can't be fair with milk throughout this journey. We cannot be fair with milk
throughout the journey.
We've got to take some meats, some strong
meats,
and crack some bones. And they are very healthy and strong for us. It is delicious. God bless you. By 5 o'clock,
we'll
be seated for the last major service of the convention. Then by 5 a.m. tomorrow morning, we'll come for the final service of the convention. November, Paul was writing. He got to the time. He said, finally. So, there will still be finally. See, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Shall we rise? Say whether I want to start preaching again. I'm not preaching again. Oh, wonderful. Oh, God is great. Isn't he great? Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he glorious? He is. I want to sing chorus. It's a bit fast. It ignites dancing. Yes. Come and see you. Come and see. Come and see. Oh,
Very, very, you are very.